Now, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but I happen to be one of the foremost experts on computers and laptops in the world. And, of course, I got some reactions there. I probably know about as much about laptops and computers as a six-year-old in our modern world. And so what happened to me, Ron was talking about something I talked to him about. I had a, this is real quick, I'll get over this. Somebody sent me a download to download a Greek keyboard. And so I could type Greek, right? And so I downloaded it, and the only problem is that I think Mike made a mistake or something. Now I can't type English anymore. And so now I can't communicate in English anymore. Everything I type is in Greek, and so I got to get the geeks my town over so I can fix this. Maybe it's a good way to learn Greek, but there you go. Ask a six-year-old. There you go. Thanks, Forrest. But yeah, that's what I did. And but you know, there are ways to get a Greek keyboard. And then you can go back and forth between English and Greek. I think seems as though that, like, guys have it. Like, Tony might have it. Ron might have it. Chip might have it. And whatever. So I'd like to have it. But at any rate, thanks a lot for all those who are texting and all those that made this room possible for us to come into and glean from the Word of God. Our text this morning is going to be Ephesians 1, 1 through 4. And I believe that if you remember last time, we got through Ephesians 1, verse 3. And so let's read this in the English. Ephesians 1, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And last time, the purpose of the study is to, at least go through, Ephesians 1, 1 through 9, breaking apart all the English words and phrases that we see fit to, and then gleaning from what we find in the Koine Greek, and then rewriting the verse and speaking it forth. And this is what I'm gonna call, the expanded version. And let's just say that I believe that what we're doing here will bring out truth. It is my personal expanded version, and so as Ronnie said, you all can do the same thing that I'm doing here. It's not rocket science. You have many excellent lexicons out there to go to, and so I would give you the go-ahead, or I would say to you, hey, please do delve into the Greek, because the Koine Greek is what, in fact, our God used to pen the New Testament in. And so I came to know the mystery without Koine Greek. I came to know the mystery in the King James Version of the Companion Bible, and so it's not needed for God the Holy Spirit to work through the Word of God and in you, but it does bring out some beautiful gleanings, I believe. And so today, what I'd like to do is read verse 3 over in English, and then there we go. Tony's got some Greek there. And then I'm going to read over what we found out of the expanded version in the Koine. And then what we're going to do today is move on to verse 4, and I think I've got enough information here to get through verse 4. And that's how it is. I mean, I thought I was going to get through verse 5, but we'll see how it goes. There's just an abundant amount of blessedness in these verses. I want to stress to you that I believe it's our dear Heavenly Father pouring out His heart to us as His body through His Son. We have a special sonship, as we saw last time, through the Greek phrase, en tois epiraneois, in the upon heavens, in the abode, which is above all heavens, in the super heavenlies, that according to Ephesians 1:3, we have a unique sphere of blessing. This phrase is found in Ephesians 1:20, where it talks about our unique association with our head, Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2:6, it talks about a unique resurrection of His body, which we are, a unique resurrection in Christ. In Ephesians 3:10, it talks about a unique purpose that His body has. And in Ephesians 6:12, it talks about a unique warfare that has to do with our calling. And, you know, these are rock-solid things. These are not things that Mike made up in his mind. These have been rock-solid things that I have known through many beautiful teachers and through many beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God that I have known for over four decades. And so these are solid truths. And if not a lot of human beings want to acknowledge this truth, that isn't a surprise to me, because God has never worked with numbers, with big numbers. He's always worked with a faithful remnant. We are a faithful remnant in this place where the Word of God is being messed up by the evil one and by human beings that don't want to delve into His Word as they should. And so it is no surprise to me that we have such a confused state as far as the Word of God is concerned in this world, and furthermore, as far as knowing the calling as to the mystery, the fullness of Christ, as to His body in the super heavenlies. And so this is quite a gift. It is an unspeakable gift that we've been given. And if I say anything in this life, I'm going to say that this is an unspeakable gift through Almighty God that we've been given through His Word. And He's kept His Word alive for us in 2023. If you want to go back and study the history of God's Word and how almost Satan almost destroyed that from this planet, you should do that, because that will give you an idea of how faithful our Lord is and how tremendous His Word is. I can just say that. You all got to do that for your own selves. And so what I got out of verse 3, which in the English says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." This is what my expanded version got to last time. We found out that the verse may read, "May the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus be praised, the one who has once and forever poured out benefactions upon us in the environment of every possible divine spiritual blessing in the abode, which is above all heavens, in Christ." We go on in verse 4 today, reading it in the English, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." The words "according as" are a translation of the Koine Greek kathos, which means with conformity with the fact. It has to do with the Father's ability. Remember that this is a calling in which the Father is pouring out His heart through His Son to His church. We have a special sonship, which is found in verse 5. We are not children. We are sons. If we as teachers ever go over that verse and say that we are children, we are doing a high dishonor to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God, to the knowledge of God, and to our calling. We are not children. We are adopted sons. That's a special thing. That's a special thing that goes along with special purposes of God. The Greek word is huia thesion there. It is not technon. How this ever came over in the King James Version as children is a supreme mistake. It's a supreme mistake. I believe the evil one had his an invention in that through English King James Version period translators, and they did not see the mystery. And so if we ever go over this verse and we say that we are adoption by the adoption of children by Christ Jesus, we are doing a great disservice to the Word of God, and we are not rightly dividing the Word of truth. And I have to say that. I have to say that, and that I have to say that. I believe that with all my heart it is true. I believe with all my heart that it is that important. All right, but we're going to get to that in the next study. And so, according as has to do with the Father's ability. It has to do with our election and our blessings in view, and conveys the idea of a serious action. What the Father is pouring out to his church is a serious, serious thing. He hath chosen is the next phrase in the English, and it's the Koine form exelexita. Exelexita. It comes from the root eklego, and it literally means to choose out for one's self. Always remember, this is the Father pouring out things to his church, which he delights in through his Son. I cannot stress that the more. Here this verb, exelexita, is in what's called the first aorist middle tense. What does that mean? That's Koine Greek. The aorist tense is a verb tense, of which there are at least seven tenses in the Greek. The aorist, you've heard about it, is an action that has been completed. It's simply that, an action that's done. It's done, whether it's done in the past. This one has been. It has been completed. It is a done deal. And so, we have been literally chosen out by the Father. It has been done. And the middle aorist is this. The Greek has three voices. The middle voice, the passive voice, and the active voice. The middle voice means that the subject, which is the Father here, is both the initiator and the focus of the action. And so, what does this mean? This verse being in the aorist middle voice means that the Father has chosen this out and this action out, and he is the focus of the one doing the choosing. He has chosen us out, and we should understand through the Greek that he is the one doing the choosing. Hey, praise be, going back to verse 3, the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus that is doing this is what the truth of this is. Exelesita conveys the fact of being appointed for a certain goal. What is our calling? What does it mean? What is the Father choosing us out for? We have this calling we talk about all the time. We are a remnant, I believe, chosen out from the world of believers today. That's a fact. So what? What's it all about? Can we explain it? Do we understand it? Our Father would want us to completely understand it, so we understand the glory of it. Exelexita conveys the fact of being appointed for a certain goal, for a definite calling, being appointed by God the Father for a particular purpose for himself. The same form, ex Alexita, is used in the Septuagint. What is the Septuagint? The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. So what? Well, if we look at the Septuagint version of the Hebrew Bible, we'll find this form in Psalms 132. Let's turn back there. I'm making a point. And holy cow, this time just flies here. I don't even know if I'm going to get through verse 4 today. Nevertheless, the Word of God is beautiful. It is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And so when we go back to Psalms 132, what do we find with this verb, ex Alexita, that conveys a particular goal or purpose that God is doing? Well, we find in Psalms 132, 11 through 15, the Septuagint version, which is the Greek version, it says in verse 11, "The Lord has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set it set upon thy throne." Sounds like Christ. "If thy children will keep my commandment," could be Christ and David, "and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever, for the Lord has chosen," ex Alexita, has chosen Zion. Zion, I believe, is Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem, I believe, is spoken about as Zion. "He has desired it for his habitation." He has ex Alexita Zion for his habitation. "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have declared it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread." Ex Alexita. He has chosen Zion for his particular purpose. Psalms 135 is another place where you find this verb, ex Alexita. Psalms 135, 1 through 6. It states, "Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen, ex Alexita, Jacob, unto himself. And he has chosen, ex Alexita, Israel, for his particular, peculiar, too much coffee, for his peculiar treasure. For I know the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all deep places. And so he chose Israel, and he chose Jacob, whose name is Israel, ex Alexita, as his peculiar people, and as Jacob, as his peculiar one in the line of Abraham, his loins from which Israel would come. Let's turn to Acts 1. Ex Alexita. This verb that applies to the church, which is Christ's body, the Father choosing out for himself because of his delight, because he loves us. Acts 1, we're going to find ex Alexita applied to somebody else. Acts 1, verses 1 through 3. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, I do not like the Holy Ghost, why that's in there, I do not know, had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had exelexita, whom he had chosen, whom he had called, whom he had appointed for his particular purpose to fulfill his particular desire. The apostles whom he had chosen also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Exelexita, we see that God the Father, through his Son, has chosen those for his particular purpose, peculiar ones, that he, through his love, has chosen them to carry out his particular purpose. And in fact, we are the body of Christ, exelexita, chosen out for his particular purpose, because he loves us so very much. In him is the next couple of words that we find in verse 4. Turn back to Ephesians 1, please. In him, in whom have we been chosen through? In whom have we been chosen in for the Father to bestow on us his particular purpose? According as he has chosen us in him is a pronoun. It refers back to the name of Christ. In Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Grammatically, the term obviously classifies a location, the location being located in Christ. The choice that the Father made for us according to his good pleasure is made in his Son, in Christ, located in his Son. And so we can understand. And I always think to myself, when the Lord was crucified, did he know what was to come in us? Did he know the mystery in his mind? And I've always, and this is foolishness maybe, but I've always wanted to go back and talk to the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, knowing the mystery, looking at him in his face, looking at his eyes, and looking at him look at me, knowing what he's given me and to others. You know, just that idea. That is a goofy idea. But what a wonderful thing that would have been, knowing that he gave up his life for us, knowing that hundreds of years later, this calling, this mystery, would be put forth as a sacred secret. I mean, if you can imagine what I'm thinking, that would never happen. It was never going to happen. But my mind said that the Lord Christ Jesus knew the calling of the mystery in his mind when he gave up his life for us. This choice that the Father has made through his Son was made. Okay, and then I think I'm going to end with before the overthrow of the world. We're not going to make it through verse 4 this morning, but the katabale is very important, because you're going to find in many lexicons that they translated foundation, and then in other places it's translated overthrow. And so one might make you think of God founding the creation. The other one might make you think of God allowing a creation to be overthrown or to be made wild and waste. And so that's something that you are going to have to study for yourself. I'm going to say today that it describes the overthrow of a creation which was in a state of spiritual perfection. The overthrow or the destruction of the original spiritual world of perfection and harmony. World is the koine cosmos, which in the context here means an arrangement or a creation in which order existed. And so we have a creation. We had a spiritually perfect created order. And of course, the fall of Lucifer, who is now Satan, he is not Lucifer anymore. That is something that I have in my brain, that he is not Lucifer anymore. He is Satan. He will never be Lucifer again. He is Satan. The two different names have two different meanings. And so when Lucifer fell, he became Satan. And when the overthrow of the perfect spiritual cosmos occurred, it is when Lucifer fell. The reality has to do with the fall of Lucifer and with the fall of some heavenly spiritual beings and with the ruination of the spiritually perfect universe in which was complete order and harmony. And God the Father is about bringing that all back to being. You know, but if you think about it, why did God the Father allow all of this pain, all of this suffering, his own son being nailed to a piece of wood, all of this suffering? Well, think about it. Think about the myriads of human beings, the millions and millions of human beings that he is saving out of all of that pain. Think of all the countless thousands of human beings that he is saving to the calling of the mystery from this short period of time that we have to live in this flesh and go through this and understand our calling. And so it's a wisp in the wind. It's a flash in the pan. It's a dust to dust. Even though it does not feel like it, and I'm the biggest whiner in the world, even though it doesn't feel like it, that's the reality of it. We're here, and then we're gone. And so we have been given the human life as a tremendous blessing, because without it, where would we be? This would lead us, this follow of the spiritual world would lead us to, of course, Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. And we go back there. We've seen this many times before. Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. We'll go back there and just reiterate this again. Some so-called experts call this the gap theory. Well, there are no theories in the Word of God. And there are no theories when it has to do with the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit does not promote any theories. And minuscule, microscopic, mini-minded men take these things and create certain theories, and then they get all puffed up in themselves, and it reminds me of Paul saying, thinking themselves to be something, they are nothing. Seeing themselves to be something, they are nothing. And this, we are bombarded with these minuscule people throughout all of our lives, especially in the realms of our learning, in our colleges. These minuscule men take on, usually they're robots, just being mouthpieces of other minuscule men. And you're going to be hammered and hammered and hammered with the theories and ideas of minuscule men who are from the dust and in a blink are returning there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and I'll say in spiritual perfection. And the earth became waste and wild, tohu vabohu. And we learn from Isaiah 45 that the Lord can never create waste and wild. He never created anything that wasn't perfect in its originality. And so the spiritual creation, the heavens and the earth that were created perfectly, Lucifer was created perfectly, angels and principalities were created perfectly and in harmony, that fell with the fall of Lucifer, and it was cast into the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, which are called the deep. And out of these waters, out of the deep, was the subsequent recreation of the earth, and then in Eden, which was a spiritually perfect realm, he set mankind in perfect harmony with himself. And so we're going to end there, but then we're going to find out in all of the rest of the scriptures that we have to study ourselves that the evil one, now Satan, the destroyer, the adversary, he's given power to affect a perfect creation again of God. And so eventually, though, he's going to get his comeuppance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that the evil one is not going to burn in hell for eternity. He's going to be out of here. I like that. I like that truth. He's going to be gone. He's not even going to be allowed, supposedly, according to a theory, to be suffering forever and still be alive. He's going to be gone. And so we're going to take this up again. And I just want to stress that our dear Heavenly Father has chosen us out. It's very, very serious. It's something that he's given us in our mealy little states here. And it's a tremendous thing that I realize that it's amazing he would even allow a human being to know such things. And so I'm going to say thanks for being here. I'm going to say I hope that we can go on with this. I hope that that I'm correct. I hope that this edifies you, and I hope that it brings glory to the Lord, because I don't think that any of us can do a better thing than to glorify our dear Heavenly Father and His Son for what He's done through us, through the Holy Spirit. Amen.